Welcome to Wonder in Reality with Jim Harwell. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Hi, this is Jim. Thanks for listening. I want to give a quick kind of teaching about one of Jesus Christ's famous teachings in Matthew 5. We call them the Beatitudes. There's nine of them. And then I want to kind of look at the bigger picture. There are nine Beatitudes. This is really in Matthew, which of course is the first gospel. This is the first recorded teaching that we see here. It's after Jesus was tempted by the devil. And there's so much to talk about with these incredible revelations that Jesus is revealing. We could spend hours and hours, and his words are spirit and they are life. They are truth. Glory to God forever that we have these, that God Almighty has allowed us 2,000 years after he was on the earth. God came to earth as a man, Jesus Christ, taught us, revealed everything that we need to know, and we've got his words right here. It's unbelievable, really. Let me just focus in. I want to first present something that I recently have seen. The first and the last Beatitude have something unique. The first one, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Remember, the kingdom of heaven. This is Jesus' most frequent teaching. The kingdom of heaven is the literal presence of the Almighty God, the presence of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, the most valuable substance in the universe. Amen. The most valuable entity. Nothing else even exists outside of him. All the wealth of the earth put together is nothing compared to his presence. Amen. Jesus offers this. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He's offering right here in his first teaching the most valuable substance and entity in the universe. Glory to God. Then I want to just look at the last one. I read this at the beginning of this teaching. Jesus said, this is again a famous portion. He says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Jesus is offering rewards in heaven, which last forever. The first and the last Beatitude deal with things really beyond our comprehension. But the first one is the most valuable substance in the universe. And the last Beatitude, he's talking about rewards in heaven. Now, it's not, if we look at what he says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely. That's not very pleasant, right? In the natural, and to us in the natural, that's not something we really want to happen. There's a whole progression in these nine Beatitudes. Of course, one leads to the next, and then the last one is something, obviously, that's not pleasant. But getting rewards in heaven, that's awesome. That's incredible. That is so awesome we can't even comprehend it. Really, everything about walking with Jesus, if you really look at it, to be honest, everything about it is so incredible we can't really put it into human words. We can't comprehend it. So quickly, I just want to go through these and kind of clarify There's so much misconception about these nine Beatitudes and really about the whole gospel. That's what I want to finish up this message with, is this total misconception about a walk with Jesus Christ. And it's this first teaching, these Beatitudes, is really kind of a good example of the misconception. So, the blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the spiritual beggars, those who are spiritually begging God for finding the answers, finding the truth. Spiritual beggars, people who spiritually are begging all the time. They're seeking God. There's misconception because the first word is poor. So we think, is this the poor financially? Is this the poor? Well, he's not talking about that. It's the poor in spirit. What that means is spiritual beggars. Because for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If someone begs and seeks long enough, they are going to eventually find that the real answer is Jesus the Christ. Amen. The answer, of course, is God. That's what every human being is on the earth, to have a relationship with Him. And how do we have it? It's through His Son, Jesus Christ. God came to earth as a man, as one of us. He lived like us. He died for the world. This has never happened in all of history. There's no other faith. There's no other, I don't even want to use the word religion. There's no other faith. There's no other system or anything else where God came to earth as one of us and died for us. When somebody seeks, when they're a spiritual beggar and they're seeking and seeking, they will find it's Jesus Christ. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the ultimate, as I've been talking, if you've listened to these other messages, phase three and four, there's four phases of walking with Jesus essentially, and there's really three phases of walking in the Holy Spirit. It's in, if we look at it as four phases, phase three and four, that's when we're getting in close to the kingdom of heaven, into this most valuable substance in the universe, the presence of Jesus that we can have. It's called the anointing. This holy, glorious, most wonderful treasure, the most valuable entity in the universe. It's available to us, but we have to go through the process, the phases of walking with Jesus Christ. Phase one, phase two, phase three. Now that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're closer. And then phase four, very few get to phase four. Okay. Now, the next one, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we're a spiritual beggar and we're seeking God, we mourn because we are nothing. We are sinners. We are nothing apart from God. We are nothing. We're dead apart from Him, and we can do nothing. When someone's dead, it's obvious they can do nothing. So apart from Him, we're nothing, and so we mourn over our sin. We mourn of how that we are just sinners saved by grace. And so when we mourn, we're comforted. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. Then, number three, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek means consecrated to God. So when someone mourns and they realize they're a sinner, they realize they're nothing, now that's when someone can be consecrated to God. That's the first step. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Repent. That's the first thing really Jesus is recorded that He said was repent and believe the gospel. We see that throughout His teachings, you know, that we need to, and we see it clearly. So we need to repent. There's a misconception about the word meek, total misconception. People, it's rampant throughout all religions, though I don't like that word at all, but all of Christianity, almost all of Christianity, everyone thinks, I have to be this meek, humble person, and I have to act very spiritual, and I have to go, you know, be just my behavior. My behavior has to be just in line, and everything has to be perfect. That's man's attempt to do something. I don't know what that is. That word, the modern word for meek, has nothing to do with a walk with Jesus Christ. Meek in this, the Greek in this, for the word meek, is consecrated to God. For they shall inherit the earth. There's another promise. I'm not even going to focus much on it, but there's another incredible promise. Inherit the earth. That's awesome. How would you like your inheritance to be the whole earth? Incredible. Number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. I'm not going to be able to cover all this. I'm going to continue a lot of it in part two, but I think I've gotten the point across. This teaching, as all of Jesus' teachings, is incredible. I use that word a lot. I may be overusing it. It's unbelievable. He offers, the first promise is he's offering the most valuable substance in the universe that's worth more than all the wealth of the earth. That's the greatest thing, and really the only thing offered to the human race, Jesus the Christ, through the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Then he offers comfort. And then in the third one, he offers, do this and you'll inherit the earth. And then it goes in. I'll continue in the rest. I think this is enough for this. But I did want to say, here's the misconception overall. I've talked a little bit about this. People outside of Christianity view a walk with Jesus as really something very negative. They have a very, very negative view of it. Something that they would, in the natural, as they look at it, just something that's boring and dead and gross and inhibited and something they would never want. Who would want this? This is just distasteful, and we have to give up all these things that are so fun and that we enjoy. I'm talking about kind of the pleasures of life, or, you know, doing my own thing and having fun and all this. And there's a misconception there, right? But even among Christians, okay, probably 80% of all of the people who would be in the category of Catholic Christian, they also have this similar view. They're not excited about, you know, this walk with Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah, they believe, they go to church. I know many people like this. They believe, they go to services, and yes, they believe, but their focus is on other stuff. Their focus is on their career. Their focus is on having fun. Their focus is on entertainment and just doing their own thing and this and that. Really, they need the Holy Spirit. Is when someone meets the Holy Spirit, everything changes. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. He's a person. That's when everything happens. That's the key. That's it. When somebody meets Him, they won't want anything else. Everything else, they'll realize everything else has no meaning. It has nothing of value because it doesn't have eternal value. So it's simple. But my point is, there is this total misconception and deception about a walk with Jesus Christ, because the truth is, it's the most glorious possible life, both on the earth and forever. It's so glorious and wonderful, it can't be put into human words. The entire New Testament is an attempt to put it, to explain it, and to put it into words. Jesus Christ Himself could not put the kingdom of God into human words because it cannot be put into human words. It's so wonderful, so glorious and beautiful. His presence is what I'm talking about. That for all eternity, we will be in awe of Him and experiencing Him. And all of the wonderful things flow from that, flow from Him, from His presence, having that relationship with Him. Every person on the earth can have that. Also, I want to emphasize there's both people outside of Christianity and Christians have a big misconception as they look at the teachings of Jesus, as they look at the Gospels, and they, many people think, oh, you know, I've got to, if I really am going to follow Jesus, I've got to give up everything that I have, and I've got to deny myself, and those are verses, right? And in a teaching in the future, I'm going to explain them, or they see the verses right here, the first teaching in Matthew 5, right here, Matthew 5, 3 through 11. It says, oh, we have to, the first words are poor, and then mourn, and then meek, blessed are the meek, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so people think, oh, I've got to be poor, and I've got to mourn, and I have to be meek, and I have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I can't go do all the things that are so fun to do, and I have to do these things. Blessed are the merciful. I have to be merciful to these people that I hate, people that take advantage of me, and all these things. And all of that is a misconception. And that's what I want to explain in these teachings, that I've already explained it in this, just about poor in spirit, mourning over our sin. Meek, it's not the word meek. It's consecrated to God Almighty. We've got God Almighty with us, the most powerful force in the universe, the most awesome, glorious power, the greatest, most valuable substance in the universe. Everything outside of Him is meaningless. Why is He the most valuable substance in the universe? For so many reasons, we will spend eternity learning about it. But first of all, He's the only way to be saved from our sins and to make it to heaven. The only way to find life, the divine life, eternal life, life everlasting, to live. He's the only way. That right there makes Him the most valuable entity in the universe by far. In fact, I want to repeat, outside of Him, everything else has no meaning. Everything outside of Him is dead. He's the most valuable substance in the universe. It's like, that's even an understatement. Like, we can't express it. And I used the analogy earlier of human wealth. That's almost inappropriate to even bring that up, because He's way beyond anything material. I was just using that as an analogy. Jesus, in fact, used money a lot in His teachings and things to explain things. I'm simply saying all the wealth of the earth put together is meaningless compared to Him and His presence. So, yes, He's the most valuable substance, the most valuable entity, and that's absolutely true. It's beyond true. It's an understatement. He's the only one. He's the only substance that has any meaning at all. And let me answer the things when Jesus does say, anyone who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. And He also said, there's a translation that says, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. Well, really, it shouldn't be it's the word forget should be in there instead of deny. He must forget himself. The whole message of the New Testament is we must die. Remember, when we give up these things, we give up our life, we give up everything that we have, those things are meaningless. They don't have any value. We're giving up things that have no value, and we're receiving the most valuable substance in the universe. So that's no sacrifice. We're not sacrificing when we come to Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm giving up my life, and I'm giving up all these things that I have, those things are meaningless. They have no value. We're giving up, I want to say that again. We're giving up things that have no value and no meaning and that lead to death. And we are receiving the most valuable substance in the universe. That's the greatest thing a human being can ever do. There's no sacrifice. There's nothing hard about walking with Jesus. Living on the earth is hard. It's hard for all of us. It's living on the earth is what's hard. It's hard for all of us at different levels. But walking with Jesus is glorious. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And all of these teachings, all of Jesus' teachings confirm that and confirm this overall truth that, and confirm that, again, when we come to Him and we choose to follow Him, we're giving up things, our life and all the things that we, things in the world and all that, things that have no meaning and that have no value and that only lead to death. And we are getting from Him the most valuable substance and the most valuable treasures and rewards in the universe, eternal life, which is knowing Him, the Almighty God, and Jesus Christ, whom He sent. And life everlasting, the divine nature, living forever in heaven, all of the promises, love and mercy and hope and faith and rest and comfort and help from the Almighty, and the promises. Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Just, it's on and on and on. My ministry has a book called Jesus Christ Promises with more than 300 of His direct promises from the Gospels and Revelation. We'll send it to you for free. Check it out. It's all of His promises. Just, you don't even need that book. Just start reading in the Gospels right here. I just discussed the first one. Blessed are the poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so I want to wrap this up, but this, I hope that you're getting the point. Now, let me say this. Yes, living on the earth is hard. And Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation. Fear not, I have overcome the world." So our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And then there's places, of course, in the Beatitudes right here. I read it earlier. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." That's not pleasant. Now, Jesus, again, is making a point here. Jesus says some extreme things. He's God Almighty. We should listen and we should... Yes, it's both and with God. You know, it's not always going to be... I talk about how it's glorious. And now, but I want to emphasize, yes, we live in the world. It's going to be hard. We're going to have challenges. But our faith in Jesus is this victory that overcomes those things. And in this, we can continue walking with Him and receive this most awesome offer. Amen. Thank you for listening, and I will continue this in part two. Please visit our website, bridgeministries.org.